Last time I spoke on 1 Kings chapter 2, I was just talking about the relationship between David and Solomon, about how David wanted to give a couple things, just to say a couple words of wisdom to Solomon about how he shouldn't let some loose ends stay untied before he fully transitioned to being king, kind of keep some stability in the kingdom. But I also focused on talking about the covenant between David and God, about how God would set up a kingdom for David and that his descendants would hold a throne. And then I talked about how Solomon would be technically the candidate that God was talking about, but that Christ more fully was capable for the candidacy of fulfilling the Davidic covenant. So I talked about that, and then I ran out of time. So today we are going to be finishing up what I originally had, Chronicles 28 and 29. But I figure that we're just, because I'm talking about two entire chapters, that I can probably just talk about those chapters and still be okay, not going on to 1 Kings chapter 1. So I'm kind of flip-flopping in the Bible. I started in 1 Kings, and I'm going on to Chronicles, which is technically in front of Kings. But Kings, Chronicles, Kings, but further back. So we'll find out next time when I speak. So that's in the future problems. So let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day you've given to us. They were all able to come together and fellowship with one another and just be with one another and rejoice and praise you. I just thank you for the many blessings that you give us, the fact that we're able to go through each day without having to necessarily worry about having enough food to eat or not having adequate water, Lord. And I just thank you for all the things that we take for granted, Lord. I would ask that you watch over those who are traveling, that you give them safe travels, that they might be able to come home or go to their destination safely, Lord. I just ask that you have your watchful eye on them. And I pray for your hand of healing for those who are sick. It is your will, not ours. I just pray that you might guide the hands of the doctors for those who are needing surgery, and that you might just lead this country in a more pleasing direction for you, Lord. And I'll just ask that what I have to say is good for spiritual food, that I might be good for growing, and that we might have a better understanding of what happened in the past between your chosen people, Lord. I'll just pray that you keep us safe. I can have a good rest of the day, Lord. Just pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. So, we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29. I'm just going to read chapter 28, and then when I actually get to content concerning 29, we're going to read 29 and then go through my typical verse-by-verse analysis. This is typical of what I do on Wednesdays and the last time I spoke. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, and with the officers, with the mighty men and all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the buildings. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he likened me to make me king over all of Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all of Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for a sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David said, gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all he had by the Spirit and of the courts of the house of the Lord and of the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. And for the courses of priests and the Levites, for all the work of the services of the Lord, of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks, or forks, and the bowls and the cups and the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all thy service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. For any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy command. So far we have David giving counsel to Solomon after he'd already become king in 1 Kings, and the promise of God made concerning David's lineage in 2 Samuel. The last thing I wanted to talk about is a combination of the two. In Chronicles chapters 28 and 29, we see David addressing the leaders of Israel and sharing with them the plans to make the temple. I just want to say in verse 1, make special note of the people that David is calling up. All these people were the highest ranking in Israel. These were, for lack of a better term, the people who mattered. They had the power in Israel, and so David wanted them all together so they can witness this firsthand, the coronation of the new king, Solomon. Just gotta open up my notebook here. Bear with me. So we see that in verse 1 we have all the important people gathering together so David can make a grand announcement. He's going to be speaking to all of them concerning new Solomon, their king. So it makes sense to have all the people who are important together, because if the king says, oh yeah, he's going to be king next, and there's only people there to witness this are his personal servants, like the people who serve in his palace, then nobody else is going to really know or care about the king. So we'll see that in 1 Kings chapter 1 next time. But in verse 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and have made ready for the building." So David was fully prepared to make the house of the Lord himself, but that wasn't in the Lord's plan. He was preparing something far greater than a building made of stone, the Lord was. And at this time, David was advanced with age, so him standing up would be very important, because it stresses that what he has to say is something to be listened to. Also, David standing up lends him a position of power and importance over a crowd. With the simple act of rising to his feet, he conveys that what he has to say is to be listened to, because he's in a position to be seen by everyone. Body language is a key to delivering a speech, and standing especially tall communicates your message clearly, more clearly than if I were to be sitting down and slouched over. I was worried for a second that this wire wouldn't be long enough so that I would be kind of slouched over, but thankfully that's not the case. I didn't really have all of my... I do have verse 3 stuff. But God said unto me, "Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." So throughout David's reign, there is really no doubt that we can say that David was a king of war. He spent most of his time ruling in a time of war, and that's pretty much the earmark of the beginning of his reign, the war against King Saul. This also sets a contrast between David and Solomon's rule. David could read the lines of what God was telling him and realize that Solomon's reign would be one of peace instead of one of war, like was told. Verse 4, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he likened me to make me king over Israel." So David distinguishes himself here from the other men in the assembly who fought the war also with him by mentioning that he himself was chosen by God to above everyone else in Israel, and how it pleased God to choose David. The quote, "He is chosen by Judah to be the ruler," this is also David giving evidence that he is to be the king. Everyone was aware that David came from the land of Judah. They were aware that Jesse and Saul and the people were from Judah. When Israel demanded a king, the prophet Samuel anointed Saul a Benjamite, which was one of the two tribes of the kingdom of Judah. So David is referencing anointing as a reminder that it was not man, but God who chose the king over Israel. And it was God who chose Saul, who was a Benjamite of the house of Judah, which is the house of David, and so on and so forth. So verse 5, "And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." So here David cements the position of Solomon as king. He specifically names Solomon as the one God had chosen to rule, and he also mentions that he had been blessed with many sons. So picking Solomon was not a random choice. It was not just a random decision. David had 21 sons, two of which had died in childbirth, but other than that, there were 19 legitimate heirs to the throne, assuming none of them were killed at any point. So this also reinforces that it's not the choice of David, say as his David's firstborn, to be the ruler, but rather it was God's choice, not man's choice. And God, who's the higher authority, of course, is the one who should be listened to. Much like David and Saul before him were chosen by God, so was Solomon. The theme of the verses 4, 5, and 6 kind of revolve around the fact that God is the one who chooses. He's the ultimate authority, And David recognizes this as a servant of the Lord. So verse 6, and he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. So we already discussed the little chosen theme of these couple verses, but there's a phrase that kind of stood out to me. I will be his father. But David is backing up what he said previously from words directly from God, using language from the covenant that God had made with David to do so. At the time, David had no knowledge of Jesus, but I'm sure he knows now. So he specifically mentions Solomon in verse 6 instead of sons. He said, unto me, Solomon, thy son, will be the one to rule. So I will be his father. So I had to back up to make sure I hit that point. Though Solomon is king, there is still someone who is above his authority. And no, I'm not talking about his mother Bathsheba, as we all are listening to our mothers, I hope. But a father. A father is someone who leads, who makes a command decision when things are uncertain. A father is someone who loves his children and shows them the right way forward. A father also disciplines their children so they might turn away from the path that they were on. God has declared that he will assume that role for Solomon to David. He declared that to David, that he will be Solomon's father. And David is sharing that assembly to that. Sharing that fact to the assembly. God will be the leader, though Solomon is king. God is in control. Now, I know I'm kind of going on a little bit of a tangent here, but bear with me. These verses kind of resonated with me. Much like Solomon was chosen to be God's child, so are we chosen to be children of God. John 1, 12 through 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that very same figure who leads, loves, guides, and chastens Solomon is the one that we have in that same role. Not our flesh father, but our father in spirit, who is ruler over the universe and cares so deeply for us, this dust of the world that we are, that he wants us to see him as our Father, and for us to get it through our thick skulls that he holds us close to him, that we are his beloved children. It's impossible for us to comprehend the love that God has for us, like the song says. He is claiming us as his children, and is a precious thing. So something precious is kind of the best way I can describe it. Something that we can think about in the dead of night when we're curled up in bed, that makes all the stresses and pains and sufferings of life seem more worth it. When God extended his love in the covenant to David, it was this love that made David say, who am I? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 to 24. And I know I'm backtracking, but I can't help but stand in humility that someone would love us so much. It's kind of genuinely impossible to kind of wrap my head around. So back to Chronicles. Verse 7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Moreover, as if the previous blessings weren't enough, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. So this is a very beautiful promise to David, Solomon, and the assembly, excuse me. They need not fear that the throne will be taken away from the line of David as long as the reigning king steadfastly follows God. So, I mean, that's like the golden guarantee. Hey, you're going to be king, and your line is going to rule Israel forever as long as you follow what I say. And though it's like a great promise and a great thing to say, at the same time, we know that it's not so easy to follow God. So him saying that is kind of both a blessing, but at the same time, a warning. It's like, hey, you're going to be kings for as long as you follow me. Verse 8. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel and the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. So David says this in front of the entire assembly. And I think this is an important point because it gives a sense of accountability. Now that everyone knows, they can kind of hold Solomon to a higher standard. He can't really get away with any of the secret sins or not following or adhering to God as closely as he could. Of course, God knows, but that's kind of... But it's now publicly known, the promise. It's also something of a comfort to David's mighty men in attendance that everything they fought and bled and died for isn't for nothing. That they fought for all those many years against all those many different enemies. And they might at some point have thought, what's the point of all this? Why are we fighting all this if we can't have peace and stability? So God's promise here in verse 8 is very heartening. It's like, yes, this wasn't for nothing. All this sacrifice wasn't for nothing. So verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So David addresses Solomon specifically here. He starts with the most important part, know the God, your father. He wants his son to have a genuine and committed relationship with God. The secret to David's success, as it were, was his relationship with the Lord. And the same holds true for us, as we have been taught across the Bible. David also exhorted Solomon to serve with a willing heart and mind because God will know the difference, which he gives as a reason to stay true to the Lord. Again, we are reminded of Hebrews 11:6, Deuteronomy 4:29, and many of the Psalms. The message is consistent and is precedent established throughout the Bible. This time, however, it was said by David, who was imparting his wisdom to his son Solomon. There are at least 100 verses speaking on the topic of seeking God. So if it wasn't so important, it wouldn't be repeated so many times. So that is something we are going to be striving for in our lives, that we are going to be seeking after God, not quite so much letting God come to us. I mean, while he does come to us, it is our prerogative as Christians to seek after him and to further our relationship with him. So it's a very important concept for us Christians. As for forsaking the Lord, spoilers, Solomon does exactly that. His love for the world and the idolatry through his many wives seeped into his heart, and he strayed away from the Lord. And then from then on, we see trouble starting to crop up for the king. So we cannot serve two masters, no matter how wise we are. So verse 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So be strong and do it. David is urgently exhorting Solomon the construction of the temple. If he did not build it, then everything David had prepared would go to waste. Emphasis on being chosen again, also a command. There is no try, there is no tarrying along for an indefinite amount of time, so until we're forced to do it, and there's just no. It's no, do it, take the reins, be strong. Be strong and do it. The world will cast doubt on us, and it will do everything that it can to dissuade us from serving the Lord, but we have to be strong and do it. Just like David prepared the materials for the temple, so did God do the heavy lifting through the sacrificial act on the cross. Comparatively, it is a much smaller burden for us to witness and spread the gospel. We stand in the same position as Solomon here. Be strong, build the temple, share the gospel, do it. Share the love of God. So, turn the page. Verses 11 to 19 I'm not going to say all that again because that's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of stuff that is not particularly relevant to the message I have. So I'm just going to do a little brief speaking on verses 11 to 19, then a little bit more on verse 19. So verses 11 to 19, we see that David really did do everything for the temple but build it. He had the plans ready, the furnishings ready, the gold, the silver, the objects for ceremonies, the bowls, the forks, everything made of precious metals David had provided. All the plans were given to David from God directly. And then in verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understanding, writing by his hand upon me even all the works of his patterns. So we see David is stressing the importance of actions. He made an enormous preparation for the temple to be built, but all Solomon had to do was just do it, get it built, get it done. So all this, all the gold, all the preparations, all the wealth David had amassed was for the glory of God. God knew his house, how his house was to be set up, and he told David exactly how it should be. So be strong and do it. Verses 20 and 21. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So here in verses 20 and 21, David echoes Joshua chapter 1. If you think this passage is familiar, it's because the same one I used last time I was on the pulpit for the annual business meeting. There's no coincidences. This is a similar situation to Moses and Joshua. Moses was a great leader of the Israelites and could only lead the people to a certain point. It was up to Joshua to finish the proverbial relay race. So just like Moses and Joshua, it was David to Solomon. It was up to Solomon to finish the job. Do it, as it were. So the task may seem daunting, but as David said, the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him, and Solomon has help. He's got the Levites. He's got the Lord. He's not doing this alone. So, now on to chapter 29. See how far I can get in 15 minutes. Furthermore, David the king said to all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and the stones to be set, glistening stones, and diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold and of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and silver things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands of hundreds of with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor and glory come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great, to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee as house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and it is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, and the uprightness of my own heart, I willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts and of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. And David said unto the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And the congregation blessed the Lord of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, and 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all of Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time. And anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Let's just stop right there, because that's kind of all the content that I necessarily had. Chapter 29, verses 1, the do it again. My son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. The next, David addresses the assembly instead of Solomon. He speaks and asks the people for help, because his son Solomon may have been given the plans, but there was still a great deal of work needed to be done for this project. The work was of great importance because it wasn't for man, but it was for God. Solomon, as a young and inexperienced king, could not gather the rest of the materials himself. So King David turned to the people of Israel for help. Despite all the do it talk, David wasn't leaving Solomon to struggle alone, nor was he expecting him to. There was still much more that needed to be done for the temple. So David prepared everything he could, and he did it because he loved the Lord. He gave more for the temple than he'd ever given the Lord before. Verse 5, then he turned it to the children of Israel. I gave it my all. Now what do you have to give? Verse 2, some of the things that David had prepared for the kingdom, for the house of God, gold things, silver things, brass things, iron things, wood things, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of many colors, precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. These are just some of the things that David had prepared already. He gave thought to each and every component, and he made sure that what he had was sufficient. Gold for things of gold, not brass for things of gold. Silver for things of silver, not nickel or any other white metal for things of silver. Each thing was appropriate for its intended use, nothing less. As a matter of fact, he had marble in abundance, which means there's more marble than was needed. Thinking of this concept reminded me of a couple of verses in Colossians and a verse in 1 Peter. Colossians 3:23, which I should have put a notebook in. Really should have put a bookmark in. That's the wrong way. And look at that. All my momentum is gone. Colossians 3:23. I'm just going to read that one, not the Peter verse. And whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Actually, I'm going to go to the Peter one because that's actually important to what I have to say. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So another tangential point, but we as Christians should be prepared according to the word what the Lord has to say about how we should live. Just like David was prepared in abundance to build the house of the Lord, we also should be prepared to share the gospel and to discuss it, not only with one another, but with anyone who has a question about the word. Like I said, it's a bit of a tangent, but I'm not trying to bore you guys to tears. I'm trying to relate things in the Bible to you guys. Relate the text to different parts of our lives as Christians to kind of give it more meaning. So I'm not just here rambling about temple stuff. So I lost my place in Chronicles because I didn't put my bookmark down, but I found it again. Verses 3 and 4 of Chronicles 29. Moreover, I have set my affection to the house of God that I have of my own proper gold, of my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of God, and over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and of 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Serving the Lord will incur a personal cost to us. We will be blessed by the Lord, and a good steward would want to give what they have prepared, plus a little more for the Lord. David went above and beyond what he had prepared and dipped into his personal treasuries to give for the Lord's house. He gave that which was precious to himself. And though we may not have the fortunes of royalty, what are we willing to give to the Lord ourselves? Our time, our money, our labor? So verses 6 through 9. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands of hundreds of the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave the service of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, silver 10,000 talents of brass, 18,000 talents of 100,000 talents of iron. So this is an offering to the house of the Lord. And the people rejoiced, verse 9, that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. The Israelites answered what David was saying. David said in verse 5, I gave it my all, now what do you have to give? And the Israelites gave. They did exactly that. They offered their wealth freely and joyfully for the Lord's sake. Them offering willingly would be a small feat after seeing how much work David put into the temple. And they realized the value of it. This generosity called for celebration and joy. The commentary that I looked at last time said that this fulfills the New Testament image of a cheerful giver from 2 Corinthians 9:7. I'm not going to read that. I don't have a bookmark in it. I'm pretty much out of time. So I'm just going to kind of blitz through this as fast as I can. Verses 10 to 12. Oh, this is the important part, though. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before the congregation. David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. David is rejoicing here because this was an offering that demonstrated that the people were genuinely interested in God and the construction of God's house. David also identifies God as the Father and the God of Israelites, which is a phrase I don't remember in my reading of the Bible seen anywhere else previously. And when I looked it up, I was told that this is in fact the first time that God is identified as Father of the people of Israel. Verse 11, there's nothing from us. We are made in his image, yes, but we are made a poor comparison of God's attributes. We have no greatness except for what God gives us. We have no power but what the Lord gives us. Everything we do should not be for the glory of man, but for the glory of God. We have no victory unless God allows it. No majesty for whatever majestic things we make is from God lending us strength and dexterity in our hands. We cannot lay claim to what is on the earth because it is all his. And he is the ruler over all, not us. So thine is the glory and the power and the majesty and the victory. Thine is not ours, but of God's. So David continues his praise in verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. David continues his psalm, thanking God for the gifts the Lord has given to the Israelites. The giving heart and the material things were all of God. And I am skipping ahead. I stick to this one, Will, the newer stuff. Further praise in verse 12. The riches which David donates is from God, and any human's honor is from him as well. He is all-powerful. He is the one who makes things great, and he is the one who gives us strength each day. And in verse 13, the psalm that David sings changes from exalting the Lord to thanking him, acknowledging our own insignificance compared to him. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and who is my, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we have given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The psalm continues, thanking God for the gifts he has given to the Israelites. Giving heart, material things to be given were all from God. It's a sign of worship that we would give back to the Lord. David shows humility to the God, to the Lord for here. It is a powerful thing. Verse 15 continues, and it emphasizes the insignificance of man compared to God. Next to God, we are nothing, and God has blessed us so greatly with his gifts. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee for an house of thy holy name is coming from thy hand and is thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. God takes the hopeless, the weak, the forgotten, and he uses them to make grand things for his glory. When we give, it should be with willingness and without holding back. We should feel guilty for giving something less than what we have. Or if we feel that we're holding back, or we know we're holding back, or giving less than we know we should, the Lord wants us to have an upright heart, an honest, just heart that upholds the principles that God outlines throughout his word. And when we do give offerings, it should make us happy to know that we are serving the Lord. Now, verses 16 to 19, God dedicates the offering of the materials to the temple and prays for his people that they might keep the Lord as the forefront of their lives. That day, the children of Israel were turned firmly toward God, and David prayed that they and his son Solomon would keep their hearts fixed to God, and they all bowed themselves before the Lord God, their Father. And in verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, of Israel, our fathers, keep us forever in imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. David calls out to the Lord, asking him that the Israelites would hold fast to their willing offering and to always remember the Lord. It is also a plea to God that the Israelites would keep their hearts turned to the Lord, because David knows how fickle the heart is. David himself turned away from the Lord when he had Uriah murdered and committed adultery with Uriah's wife. And he knew how easily swayed the Israelites were because of not only the triumphs, not only his own triumphs, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s, but also from how his people were so easily subverted by his son Absalom. It would be all too easy for the people of Israel to turn away from God again, and David is praying here earnestly against that. Verse 19, and give to Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes and to do all these things to build the palace for which I have made the provision. Now he prays for Solomon's sake specifically. He prays for things that we ourselves should be praying for. A loyal heart to keep the Lord's commandments, his testimonies, his statutes. David knew Solomon's reign would not be easy because what truly about life and responsibility is easy? He wanted his son to prosper, just like any parent should. And he wanted Solomon to follow the Lord, to have a connection with him, and for Solomon to love the Lord just as David did. And verse 20 is the last one I'm going to be touching on. And David said unto the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. I think verse 20 is one of those moments that can be described as like awe-inspiring. When I first read through these two chapters all in one shot, not in piece by piece, because it kind of breaks up the tone, the suspense. When I first went through these chapters, then came to read what David said, it was just like, wow, that was a powerful moment. David had this big speech before the assembly, praising the Lord, thanking him, rejoicing in the people's donation, talking about his son Solomon, about how he's going to be the king now, and then he ended up with God. Now bless the Lord, your God. And everyone bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord. Kind of like thinking of an entire country's leadership bowing before the one true God. So in closing, all the assembly and all the Israelites had a day of great rejoicing. The next day, as Solomon was formally crowned, thousands of sacrifices were made, and there was a feast before the Lord. Everyone was exceedingly glad, and thus was the reign of David, son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart, ended, and his son Solomon begun. So, next up, 1 Kings 1:1. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the things that you give to us each and every day, all the things we take for granted that just even your love, Lord, that we don't think of it as highly as we should, that we don't remember it as often as we should, just the many things you give us, the love and the blessing and the power and glory and honor and majesty that you give to us that we do not deserve of ourselves. And I just thank you that you are able to send your son down to die, that you loved us even that much to send your son to die for us who are by all things not worthy. I just pray that you watch over us and you allow us to go home safely to our homes this day. I just thank you for all the things you do for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.